Hey, soccer fans, welcome back to Sons of a Pitch Soccer Central, our live Monday night, now on Tuesday because of the holiday weekend, live soccer chat covering all things MLS, American soccer, and CONCACAF. Thanks for joining me. I'm your host, Nick. We have a full, let me tell you, full stuff to the brims 4th of July barbecue weekend recap to get to. There were fireworks in the sky and there were fireworks on the pitch. So many goals, so many great games. We're going to touch on all their team profiles, and we're going to discuss the Portland Timbers and the season they're having. And if there's a little stoppage time there towards the end of the show, we'll take your questions as you leave them live in the chat. So without further ado, and just like we do every week, let's hit that intro. Well, guys, we are back with another MLS recap here. We're recapping, what is it, week 17, 18, everything all together. They're smashing them together again because of these great congested schedules. And it's great to see all of our friends in the SOP community already jumping on. We got Red Bull Insider. We have Connor Knows Soccer. Rocky at Talking to Woods is here because we are talking Timbers in the second half. Ramon Poblano, great to have you with us. And I know everyone else will be jumping in. And how could we also not announce at this time? Guess who's back with us? Mike! Mike, the founder, the owner, the everything guy here at SOP Soccer Central. Good to see you, my brother. Glad you could jump on tonight and join us. How are you?
Good to see you, man. I'm hanging in there, man. It's been a rough month, but I'm here, and there is a lot of TFC to talk about. So when I saw that email, I'm like, dude, I'm working storm right now. I'm on till 5 in the morning. I got to talk some TFC.
So let me ask you, how fast from when you got the email announcing you had the link to join to changing into your TFC jersey in your hat? Was that like
Clark Kent? It took me about 3 or 4 minutes because first the first jersey I got was this one, but it doesn't fit me very well because it's from China. So, and I've gained a few pounds here over the last month. So, we're going back to the old school Danny Dicchio original training top from 2007. And we're going to leave it there for now.
Well, there you go, my brother. a walk down memory lane and a walk through your closet all at one time. That's pretty nice. Right? Well, there's tons of games, Mike. So let's just jump right in. We're going to start with the U.S. Open Cup recap. There was one game at the end of June, and we're going to roll through the MLS regular season. So we had Orlando hosting Nashville for the Open Cup, and Orlando draws level late in the game and advances on penalty kicks. And there was some questionable officiating that really helped Orlando's comeback. And honestly, I've heard people say this is the first game Nashville has ever lost since Hani Mukhtar has scored a goal, or in any game he scored a goal. So this is a kind of a big deal for Nashville to lose this game despite dominating and despite getting screwed by the ref. But it does set our semifinal matchups on July 27th with Orlando City hosting Red Bulls and Sacramento Republic, a USL team making it to the semis, will be hosting Sporting Kansas City. Now, Mike, any thoughts that you have on the U.S. Open Cup so far? Anything you'd like to see as we get into the final couple matches of this tournament?
Hold on. Sorry about that. Just got an email here dealing with, of course, it's the 8 o'clock update. I just had to let everybody know what's going on. But
go.
As far as Open Cup and whatnot, man, I know nothing about it. I will just be 100% honest with you. I've watched probably 4 or 5 hours worth of soccer in the last month and a half, and it has been watching TFC get their ass kicked. So that's pretty much it, man.
Well, we'll make sure to tune in for TFC's Canadian Championship. That's for sure. Rolling down the score sheet. Let me share my screen here so everyone can see the scores as we roll through. The MLS is probably pissed that this was the first game of the week, or maybe they're happy it was the first game of the week because of all the excitement. Cincinnati goes up 3-0 on New York City, and then the ending result is a 4-4 draw. Brenner with the hat trick. He also had two other disallowed goals. New York City somehow claws their way back, and I don't know if our resident Red Bull fan here, RBI Insider, it seems like New York has had a pretty below-expectation run of form ever since the Red Bulls knocked them out of the Open Cup. So maybe the rest of the league could be thanking the Red Bulls a little bit. Maybe the Red Bull fans are rubbing that a little on the blue side of New York. But anyway, Haber gets two goals for this one, which I really think helps New York City make the case that they'll be fine if and when Tati is sold, and Maxi Morales with three assists. And just an incredible performance by the stars in this matchup. And then we move into the next game of the night. Mike, one I'm sure you were glued to the TV for. Toronto hosting Columbus and losing 2-1. So do you want to give me some of your thoughts from this game? And then why don't we touch on some of the thoughts from the big news out of Toronto?
Yeah, absolutely. So for that game, I mean, Columbus was the better team. Overall, they finished their chances. Toronto didn't. That's pretty much what it boiled down to. There were a few points during the game where TFC looked like the better side, but they just couldn't string it all together. And I think that's what's really dogging Toronto FC right now, is they're playing in Bob Bradley's system, and they don't have the talent for that system. And the talent that they do have doesn't fit the system. So now everything's kind of just getting changed up. They went through 6 months. We talked about it in the beginning of the season. Toronto, this was a six-month period until Insigne gets there in the summer, Crescito, and possibly other moves as well. It was, can they just stay relevant? Can they be in the, you know, 7-10 spot in the East, or 5-7 points out, and they'll be able to make a run at the playoffs? It's a rebuilding year, and we all know that's the case. But overall, I mean, Columbus get a goal from the new kid, Zawadiski. Never even heard of him. His first MLS goal. Nagby played out of his mind. And we're not the biggest Darlington Nagby fans out there, but he played an unbelievable game. Was probably the man of the match, in my opinion, from what I saw. So overall, I mean, decent performance there from Columbus on the road to be able to get 3 points in Toronto. And Toronto FC, they're hot and cold, man. They one day they're playing great, the next day they're not. Everything works, everything doesn't work. It just depends on the night. And this one, they had it where it didn't work.
Well put, Mike. Well put. And real quick before we get into the big news, just want to welcome Brother BKL back to the chat. Yeah. We also need to welcome Hani Mukhtar Stan. Great to have you. You've been leaving some messages on some of our videos. It's great to see the content and the chat keep coming. But Mike, the biggest news out of Toronto hasn't been the results. I think it was just today that they announced officially that Pozuelo is transferring to Inter Miami for $150,000 in allocation money. And a lot of people might think this is a shock to see him leave, especially for that little amount of money. But you've been interacting with some people on Twitter with some really good comments to that. So what have you been saying? What do you think about this move?
You know, from what I'm seeing, Pozuelo just didn't fit into Bob Bradley's system. When he came here, he wanted to play as number 10. He did adjust and play in that false nine position back in 2019 when, or was it 2020 when they made, I think it was 2019 when they made the run to MLS Cup Finals. So he can adjust, and he's still a very good player in MLS, but to be that guy that all of us know Alejandro Pozuelo is, he's got to be in that 10 spot. That's his best position, and it doesn't work in the 4-3-3 that Bradley wants to play. So you've got a guy who has a contract expiring in 6 months. You're probably not going to re-sign him because he doesn't fit into your system. You're going to lose him on a free. Next month, as soon as this window closes, he's signing with whoever he wants anywhere in the world for free. So you're not getting anything from him. He stays in MLS. He goes to an Eastern Conference rival, but you're getting something tangible out of him. And yeah, $150K in GAM, people are like, wow, Toronto got fleeced. They did. If you're going to base it strictly by that number, yes, Miami got the best of this deal by far. It hasn't been announced on by Toronto FC or Inter Miami yet. Fabrizio Romano put a tweet out there. Michael Singh, who is, I don't know who he knows with TFC, man, but that guy, God bless Michael Singh and the work he's doing with Toronto Till I Die podcast and whatnot. This guy's been lighting it up. They got this information, and it's official. It's done. It's a good trade for both sides. They both get what they want. Toronto FC frees up a DP spot to sign Bernadeschi. Then you've got, you've got some wiggle room as well with Salcedo. That's a whole nother thing to talk about. And now you've got the pieces that fit the puzzle for Bob Bradley. And yes, you're losing one of the best players in the game for not a lot of money, but you're at least getting something out of it. So I think it's a great trade for both sides. Who knows? Pozuelo might go to Miami. Gonzalo Higuain's fighting with him about playing that 10 spot. And now all of a sudden, Pozuelo, is gone to Spain or wherever in the next window. And then you're like, well, you got 150K for nothing. So, there's a whole lot to be talked about. But one thing I do want to talk about is Bernadeschi. Big name, Italian national team player, plays for Juventus. Better than Giovinco at his age. Plays for the national team more consistently. The numbers are very similar to what Giovinco was doing at Juve when he wasn't getting as many minutes. Because Juve, when Giovinco was there, totally different squad than Juve right now. Juve right now is not what they were a few years ago. So still a very good player. But the best, what I see from this is his passing ability. Watch Bernadeschi's highlight reels on YouTube. Yeah, he scores some goals, but that's not what it's about for Toronto FC. Now you don't have Pozuelo to distribute that ball. Bernadeschi is a number 10 playing in a right-wing position. He's going to be feeding that ball in. I mean, just think about what Akinola and Jimenez are going to have to work with when you've got balls coming in on the left from Insigne and balls coming in on the right from Bernadeschi. Two of, you have to say it, just by their career stature and their numbers, some of the best players to ply their trade in MLS. So, it's going to be interesting to see how it all pans out, how they all adjust. But Bill Manning, his job's on the line as president of Toronto FC. If this doesn't work out, he's gone. He knows it. He's got to get out there and swing the big stick and go for it all. Maybe not this year, but next year. If nothing happens, if these guys take time to adjust and nothing happens this year, so be it. It's next year. That's the key focus for Toronto FC.
For sure. And that's great analysis, Mike. That's a good deep dive and, deservedly so, because you have a former league MVP, right? Pozuelo was the league MVP in 2020, just a couple seasons ago, if I remember. Right. And he's making a big move interconference, not just within the league. So we got to give it its time. And obviously a lot of people around here love the Reds. So happy to give the time on it. But let's make up for a little bit of time. We'll run through the next few matches here. Chicago, color me shocked. They end up beating top of the East team Philadelphia 1-0. The worst beating the best. And what really blew my mind was Ezra Henriksen, the Chicago Fire manager, actually made a tactical change, and it actually worked. He switched Mueller on the far side, put him up on Kai Wagner, and Mueller just took Wagner to the house time and time again. We're going to talk about that a lot more on the podcast side of things when we get our weekly Chicago Fire updates from our good friend and longtime supporter of the show, John Donovan. So make sure you're subscribing to the podcast as well to get these weekly Chicago Fire updates. But man, it was a relief to see Chicago win a game, especially against a solid opponent like Philly. Next match, Mike, I don't know if you're happy Seattle lost or upset that Montreal won, but Montreal goes to Seattle and beats them 2-1. Jordan Morris gave Seattle the lead in the third minute, but Seattle looked to be rotating their squad against TFC, so maybe he had some tired legs here. And then just Mason Toy announces himself in his return after some time off, developing some chemistry with Kai Kamara, and bags two goals to give Montreal the lead. Rounding out the games on Wednesday, Minnesota beats LA Galaxy 3-2. And will the real Minnesota United please stand up? Are they winning? Are they losing? Like, there's 7 wins, 8 losses, 3 draws. You never know what you're going to get out of them. LAFC ends up beating Dallas 3-1. Not a huge surprise there. You expected maybe Dallas to get another goal because they have been playing pretty well. And then to round things out, Portland defeating Houston 2-1. Anytime I say Portland looks like they are going to start to get into a slump, they prove me wrong, come back, and have a big win. Mike, anything you wanted to add and take away from those games?
Yeah, I want to touch on Montreal and Seattle. Thanks a lot, Seattle. You show up to BMO Field with your kids, and put a beating on Toronto FC. And then you're at home with most of your starters, probably damn near all of them outside of Montero and Rui Diaz. And you lose to Montreal, who TFC just demolished 4-0. What the hell are you doing, Seattle? And Brian, good to see you, brother. Good to see you.
I can't agree with you more, Mike. There's some odd things in MLS, but it seems like Toronto's usually a part of them.
Oh, yeah. Always.
But as we move on through the weekend, we had Thursday, and honestly, it felt like the weekend. Like, I got to work on Thursday morning after watching a lot of those games and just went, it's not Saturday. I got to work. I got to produce something. But Thursday, June 30th, we saw Charlotte hosting Austin, losing to them 1-0. And we saw Red Bull hosting Atlanta, but winning 2-1. So Red Bull continues their fine run of form. Atlanta continuing to struggle on the offensive end, continuing to try and slap together a roster given all the injuries they've had. And then we move into Saturday, the one Mike was alluding to, where Toronto hosts the kids from Seattle. Seattle rotated their squad on this one and still gets the 2-0 win. And then Vancouver. Again, Vancouver is it? I don't know what to think of Vancouver. Mike, can you give any insight into Canadian teams in general? Like, how does Vancouver beat LAFC 1-0? I just don't understand it.
I think the only word that covers the three Canadian teams right now is inconsistency. It's that simple. Vancouver looks like complete shit on one night, and then they show up and can beat a team like LAFC on another. Toronto FC can go and beat Montreal 4-0 and then lose to Seattle's kids 2-0 at home. And Seattle can then lose to Montreal. I mean, there's so much inconsistency with those three teams. Do any of them have a chance at MLS Cup this year? I don't think so. If any, I would go with Montreal just because of their defense. And because Toronto, I haven't seen these guys play together yet. I mean, I want to say Toronto, looking at just the talent alone, Toronto, you cannot write them out as an MLS Cup contender because they've got two of the biggest names on that team, hands down in the league, if Bernadeschi comes through with Insigne. So anything can happen, but overall, the Canadian teams are just a mess. It's inconsistent right now. The real focus is on the rest of these teams in, you know, your LAFCs, your Galaxies, your, you know, New York City is on a decent run. You know, Columbus, Philly. It is the parity in MLS is there big time. You never know what team's going to show up what night. And I'll tell you, I'm glad I kind of stopped betting a month ago because I'm sure I would have lost my ass on a lot of this because these results have been normally with MLS. You can kind of see the trends going a little bit and jump on them and make a lot of money doing so. But man, this year, so far this summer, the trends have not been there at all. When you think you've got a good team, they show up and crap the bed. And vice versa. So,
yeah. Well, as I said in the last picks and predictions video, never bet with your heart. So don't bet on your home team because it just it influences you too much. We got a few more people joining us in the chat. Jason Jardim, what's up? Good to see you back, my brother. Good to have you with us. Red Bull Insider says that Struber, Red Bull coach, is focusing on youth right now, playing a lot of players under 20. And a lot of people are surprised that the Red Bulls can still get results with such inexperienced MLS players, but that's the system. These guys have been playing that role, whether it's an attacking high pressing, whether it's a defensive pressing, whether they know which outlet pass to hit when they get a turnover. They have been playing their roles in the Red Bull system since under 15s. So you do that for 3-4 years, you get a 19-year-old to come to the MLS level. He might not have the experience or some of the physical dominance, but he knows what to do and can do it instinctually. And that really helps the Red Bulls continue a fine run of form when they rotate their guys in. Also, thanks to Guys and Gals Like Me Fitness. Good to have you with us. And especially as Connor knows soccer says the East is wide open. So we're going to look at the standings probably right after the halftime break as a quick recap. And then we will see just how close that Eastern Conference is. Now, moving into the Sunday results, New York City draws Atlanta 2-2. And we were just talking about how Atlanta's scrambling. Somehow they end up with a 2-goal draw. Now, Mike, I know you said New York's had a fine run this season, but as of late, they have 3 draws and 1 loss in their last 4 league games. And then there's that loss to Red Bulls in the U.S. Open Cup in there. So despite taking points and despite having a good season, maybe this is that little summer slip that we can see from some of the top teams. Now, as we roll,
I think
on
it's
down,
more pronounced with them because of how crappy they started out the season. You know, I mean, NYCFC, reigning MLS Cup champs, they come in and they're focused on CCL, and those first few games in MLS were ugly. So, you know, that I think it's more pronounced with them because look, you look at them on 29 points and 17 games played. They're right there at the top of the Eastern Conference after playing really bad in the beginning, playing really good for a while, and then playing pretty bad again.
And to take the words from Ramon Poblano for LAFC, he said it was one mistake. The Caps took advantage. LAFC rotated. And yet, Ramon, I was looking at their lineup when I was prepping my show notes for tonight. And yeah, it looked like they were like a few bench players short. And you didn't see Vela in that lineup either. So that seemed to be enough for Vancouver to take advantage of it. Now, as we continue to roll down for Sunday, July 3rd, Columbus draws Philly 0-0, which to me just seems kind of typical for these two teams to draw, not have a lot of goals. And really just in general, both these teams have been seemingly drawing a lot lately. We also see New England draw Philly 2-2 New England draws Cincinnati 2-2. And I've been saying eventually Cincinnati's going to stumble, but then they score 6 goals in 2 games with 2 draws against top talented teams. I'm not sure. Mike, are you sold on Cincinnati? Are they for real? Are they cup contenders? Are they just kind of playoff qualifiers?
Stop. Did those words just come out of your mouth, Nick?
I just calls it like I sees it, Mike.
Nick, no, they're not in the top of the cup contenders. Conference. No, if they're in the top 3 in the East come like August, September, maybe we can start having a little bit of that conversation. They're much improved, much improved. And Cincinnati has totally underperformed over their few years in existence. Outside of that expansion year, Cincinnati's had some good players, some decent team, some decent depth. They really struggle with the depth piece. They're playing okay right now. I mean, they're not for real. It's still Cincinnati, man. Let's give it a few more months and then we'll see. Then we'll see. We'll talk about it. Let's revisit this. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I've known nothing about soccer over the last month, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Cincinnati is going to be right on that border of a playoff position come September 1st. So like 7-8 spot. That's where I see him.
Sounds good. We'll hold you to that. Real quick, we need to recognize guys and gals like me, fitness. Thank you for the super chat. A $10 super chat coming towards us. We really appreciate it. That's a great way for us to kick off things as we get into the second half of our MLS season coverage here. And as a reminder to everyone else out there, if you want to help support the show and continue to grow the conversation around soccer in the U.S., send us a super chat. I think we still got the Patreon account up and running, maybe. I'll have to check on that. But if you want to get in touch with us and work out any sort of sponsorships or other kinds of ways to support the show, promote yourself, promote your brand, you can always email us at sonsofapitchsoccer@gmail.com. Thank you, guys and gals like me, fitness. It makes me really think that I can, you know, make a few dollars just talking. I mean, I did it as a lawyer, but doing it for soccer, it's really something special.
That's awesome. Brian, thanks, man. Appreciate that, dude. You've been around for a long time, 15 months. Amazing. And for your Sounders, God, I hate them, but man, that's what makes it fun, man. You guys, congrats on the CCL championship. And I mean, it's just a matter of time until you make the playoffs and do something again. Right. So we'll see.
Yeah. See, you know, we had Ramon saying LAFC for the double. I mean, Seattle could win a double of sorts too this season. That's not out of the realm of possibilities. And we got Talk NYCFC as well. Hey, guys, sorry I'm late. Better late than never, my friend.
Make sure
you
watch
the beginning of the video so we can get that viewership up and you can get all your soccer info. Where were we? Were we talking scores? We had a lot going on here, Mike.
Yeah, a lot going on. I mean, we've run through a lot of the scores. You know, I think the Red Bulls. I want to talk about the Red Bulls, man. They're just showing up. That's a team that they started out hot. They kind of went downhill a little bit, but they're a strong looking team. I mean, a very strong looking team. 1-0 victory on the road against Kansas City. It's nothing to write home about because Kansas City's been really bad. But Red Bulls keep getting points, and they've got a really sneaky team. That Luquinhas guy's really damn good, and they just continue to freaking punch above their weight. I know RBI is excited because, I mean, that team, when you look at that roster on paper, you're thinking, okay, decent MLS side. But, man, I'll tell you, Red Bulls, they just keep surprising me this year, and they're doing good. They're doing good.
Do you agree with Talk NYCFC that yes. The Red Bulls are time wasters?
Yes, 100%. Jay King in the house. What's up, Jay King? How you doing, man? But, yeah, this is it working? Are the points on the table? The points are there, man. So I can't
take it. Gamesmanship.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, getting back to New England, we had some news from the Revolution. They used some of that Buxa money and get a new striker, Giacomo Vrioni, who was born in Italy but has Albanian citizenship, plays for the Albanian national team. They got him from Juventus. So a lot of teams doing business with some of the Italian clubs. But don't get too excited. He only had two appearances for Juve in the one season he was with them. And prior to that, he'd been loaned all around Italy. 23-year-old striker, valued at $2.75 million per transfer market. So I don't know if they're going to use a DP slot on him. I didn't see that. Or if they're going to end up buying him down with TAM. But still, New England, I think they realized Josie was not the answer. And they are buying a striker. So to round out Sunday, Red Bulls beat Kansas City 1-0. Minnesota beats Salt Lake 3-2. Charlotte over Houston 2-1. Nashville draws Portland at home 2-2. And San Jose defeats visiting Chicago Fire. I hate being a Chicago fan. I hate Chicago sports, what they do to my heart and my lifestyle. But I will never stop watching them. That's just how I was made. You'll hear, again, more about Chicago Fire from our podcast, Halftime Break. And then as we get into the July 4th holiday, happy Independence Day. I hope everyone had a great holiday, a wonderful, safe celebration. And we had four big games on July 4th. DC beats Orlando 5-3. Taxi Fountas, my fellow countryman, making us Greeks look good, has a hat trick with goals in the 5th, 8th, and 51st minute. His movement's just incredible. He can find those gaps in the defense. He was getting great service. Orlando's defense, dude, it looked like they were running offense defense drills, and their defense was just like playing, marking dummies. It was terrible. Terrible defense from Orlando that game. Austin beats Colorado 3-2. Dallas and Miami draw 1-1. And the Galaxy with a convincing 4-0 win over Interconference Montreal. So, Mike, there were four big games, lots of fireworks on the pitch. What were your takeaways from all of this, other than the just sheer offensive output that these teams are putting out there?
We got fireworks, didn't we? I mean, man, 5-3, 3-2, got some real fun games. I unfortunately didn't get a chance to catch him, but DC United, that Fountas looks really damn good. I mean, he's come in and just taken the league by storm. When the guy's on every team of the week and he's being involved in goals, if not scoring them himself every single week, DC's looking better. Still not a team to really worry about if you're in the Eastern Conference. I'm not scared of DC, but yeah, it's. They're definitely improved. They're not the same DC they were 6 weeks ago. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Just want to take a few comments here before we take our halftime break. Red Bull Insider: we barely got out of KC with a win. The game was dominated with KC. And you know what? Even if they dominated, Kansas City is not having that season, as Mike alluded to, where they're going to end up turning that into points, to goals and points. So not surprising that Kansas City squanders a lot of that possession. Some that creativity is something that they need to find. Connor No Soccer: seems like almost every team in the East is getting a 23-year-old striker. LOL. And he would know something about that, covering the Crew. We're actually going to profile the Columbus Crew with Connor next week and learn a little bit more about their signing, Cucho Hernandez and Jay Jardine. Talk about the 4-0 game. Is that the one where the Galaxy beat Montreal 4-0? That one where where the Montreal embarrassed themselves going out to LA and looking for a statement win, and they keep sliding down the Jay, is that what you want me to say? Jay, our TFC fan, is that what you were looking for? There's your sound clip, my friend. We're going to talk Montreal more as the season goes on, because they're, to me, one of those surprises. Hey,
you know what? I got to say something here before this break, because I got to run at this break. Work's starting to go crazy. Five more people need my spreadsheet and all this stuff. And that, so I got to run after this. Look, I just wanted to say to everybody, thank you guys for being here and hanging with us through at least through tough times for me. Nick's been doing an amazing job with the show. Nick, keep it up, man. Jay, that I'm going to say one thing about 4-0 against Montreal, and that is fuck Montreal. TFC till I die, baby. I'm out. We'll see you guys soon. Take it easy.
Well, I'm going to have to go find a way where we can dub that somehow. there you go on the live broadcast, everybody. Mike, always a pleasure, brother. Take care. Let's talk later this week. We'll catch up and talk a little bit more soccer and a little bit more show notes and things like that. Yep. So
give me a call after the show, man. Hopefully things will be calmed down after that.
Sounds good, brother. Sounds
all right, guys.
Good.
Peace out. Big ups, Brian W., for that huge super chat, my man. Ramon, good to see you. DSO, all you guys, I miss you guys like crazy. Thanks for hanging out with us, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
So with that, everyone, we're going to take our usual halftime break. So for about a minute, go ahead, get yourself a drink, run to the restroom, give yourself a bit of a stretch so that we can settle into the second half of the show where we're going to talk Portland Timbers. In the meantime, on the podcast side, you will hear our Chicago Fire updates from our good friend and show supporter, John Donovan. And also, if you got it lying around, grab a bottle of Skira Icelandic spring water, quench your thirst there. We'll see you all in about a minute.
This MLS Weekly Recap is sponsored by Skira, Icelandic spring water, available at your local 7-Eleven. Icelandic for clear, Skira water comes from a spring in a nature preserve in Iceland with naturally low mineral content. This isn't your average water. Clearly, yes, pun intended, it's one of the best. Get some Skira today at your local 7-Eleven.
And now it's time for our weekly Chicago Fire update, brought to you by John Donovan. Take it away, John.
Nick, John Donovan, covering the Chicago Fire. Love to do this job. We had two very confusing games this week, Nick. Wednesday night, we played the Union. And the starting lineup was Chivilko, Mueller, Herbers, Shakira, Jimenez, Navarro. Reynolds got a start over Bornstein and Navarro, and he played well. I mean, he just fit in. It's the first time I've seen him with a lot of confidence out there in the field. Terran played Sijos and Sekulak. Terran is going to be a factor for a while now until Olmsberg gets back. But in reality, he is quite a specimen. If he can keep his game under control, the guy's got speed. He's huge. He's quite intimidating back there. He's a necessary player at this point of the season. Sekulak is not playing that well. He's not getting back on defense. And Terran is so darn fast that he can catch up and cut off these guys. So, I mean, they're lucky they have him at this point, as long as he can keep that game under control. The game went 0-0 through the first half, and into the second half, Mueller did a move on the Philadelphia defenseman that you rarely see in the world. The guy gave him a little bit of space, and he gave him a back and forth, and then nutmegged him, finally for a pass over to Chivilko to Navarro. And Navarro, who is not known for his scoring, nailed one in. So it was a 1-0 game. The Union lost a guy, Martinez, in the game. The guy's real rough. Lost him on his second yellow card. And, of course, he doesn't go off the field easy. He gave the folks the finger, and it looked like he was ready to moon the guys. But I'm not sure of that. He's stuck in the passageway for a long time. I'm sure he's going to be fined by the MLS for his actions. If I was Curtin, I'd be just livid at this guy. There's no reason to hurt the rest of your teammates because of your bad actions on the field. But, okay, so Fire won that game. It was a good game. But then we went out to San Jose for the last game on a Sunday night, 8 o'clock game, which went till about 10:30 Chicago time, a late game for me, for this guy. And Bornstein was back. They took Reynolds out. They kept with Herbers up front, Mueller, Shakir, Jimenez, and Navarro. And I got to say something about Navarro. I've been somewhat critical of him this season with just his rude play. He's so rough that he's hurt the team into the tune of two games this year. I believe that the Fire lost because of his red cards. But, you know, he still hasn't toned down his game. He's in there on every play. But he seems to be a little bit more effective right now. I don't know whether he's gotten used to the league or the refs have gotten used to him. He is going to get more red cards. Don't kid yourself. Him and Terran are walking red cards. But they seem, for the last two or three games, they've been able to keep themselves on the floor. You know, the San Jose game really showed a weakness that the Fire have, and it's on the right fullback. I mean, Sekulak, he last year I remember him as being an awesome crosser. He could put the ball on a dime. Well, that crossing is not happening for him that well. But the problem is he's not getting back on defense. And luckily in the San Jose game, he had Terran back there. Terran can cover a lot of territory quickly. And when he gets close to the ball, watch out, because normally somebody's flying out of there. This referee gave him a lot of breaks, I thought. In the very early seventh minute of the game, Terran pushed a guy from behind, and it looked like it was in the box. I don't know why the referee didn't call out as a red card right then and there, but he got a couple of breaks from this guy. But overall, he played a good game. He went down once, and I thought, you know, thinking back the last 2 years with this guy, he's been hurt a lot. But when he's ready and his mind is set, he can play soccer. He's an overwhelming player. Reynolds did get in the game later on for Bornstein, but this game in the second half, they came out, they played about the San Jose game, they played about 10 minutes, and then suddenly the defense just lost it. You know, there was a score that just pinged around off the post, off a player, back into a player, San Jose player. I think they had four shots, and they've put in either the fourth or fifth shot in succession. Very quick. Gaga couldn't keep up with it. He made the first two saves, but that was it. And they scored. So we had a 1-0 game. And what happened was something odd, and I didn't see it. Ezra pulled out Shakira in the early parts of the second half. You could see Shakira was not happy about this at all. But he put in Gonzalez, and he pulled out Chabilko also, who, you know, the guy is in the area, but he's just not scoring. I mean, he had a few opportunities in the San Jose game, and one opportunity, he should have gone with his right, and he went with his left, which was very ineffective. And he seems to be wandering out of his space, that center forward space. It maybe Duran is the future for this team. But Duran came on and had a beautiful assist to Gonzalez. Gonzalez's first goal, it was a breakaway, and he just buried it. I mean, the goalie from San Jose was working on a shutout, and their defense down the middle sort of let Gonzalez go, and that was it. I mean, he buried it. So what happened was the Fire ended up losing 2-1 to the worst team in the league, which shows you the difference in the Fire. They win against one of the best teams in the league against the Union, and then they go out to San Jose, and they look like the team that played Houston, which was a bad presentation of the Fire. So, Nick, I got this in a little bit late. I hope you can use it. I ran in a race this morning, and at 74 years old, I did 10:50 a mile. Not that bad for a 74-year-old, but that's about it, Nick. Take care.
Thanks for that Chicago Fire update, John. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, soccer fans, we are back getting into the second half of our weekly recap show on this July 5th evening. Thanks for sticking with us, joining us, jumping into the live chat on YouTube. So if you're listening on the podcast side of things, make sure that you find us on YouTube. at Sons of a Pitch Soccer Central. And that way you can join along our live chats. Make sure you subscribe, turn on those notifications, and like the videos. So as we roll into the second half, we're going to start off with a look at the Eastern Conference table, where Red Bulls are up top with 32 points. Philly, Montreal, and New York City round out the top four. The bottom half of the playoff picture, Cincinnati, Orlando, and New England. And right underneath that playoff line, Charlotte is 2 points back of New England. So we can see the East is still tight from about 5 through 11. However, we're starting to see the top teams in the East really distance themselves. Red Bulls, Philly, Montreal, and New York City. And then looking at the very bottom of the East, Chicago. Whew, they had a brief week, brief moment, a couple of days maybe, where they weren't the worst team in the league. But now they've resumed their rightful place, unfortunately. Now, we had mentioned Toronto's on 18 points. Mike was very hopeful that they can make a run. They're 7 points off a playoff spot right now. We'll see if that happens when they bring in their new signings. But what's interesting to look at for Toronto's record, no wins on the road. Not how you win, not how you get in the playoffs. Now, looking out in the Western Conference, no surprise, LAFC has been atop the West, the top of the Supporters Shield standings for the bulk of the season. And following them, we have Austin, Real Salt Lake, and the LA Galaxy are our top four. LA moves a little bit up after that win over Montreal. Dallas, Nashville, and Seattle round out the playoff picture in the West right now. Meanwhile, Minnesota and Vancouver are 2 points off the playoff line, with Portland in 10th place, only 3 points off the playoff line. We have LAFC and Austin really separating themselves, and RSL, still my surprise team of the season with 29 points so far, third place in the West. But again, from fourth place LA to 11th place Houston, 6 points are separating those teams. And then at the bottom, you've got San Jose and Sporting Kansas City. So looking at the Western Conference is a great way to segue into our team profile of the week. And last week we talked about RSL. Next week we're going to talk about the Crew. We've talked about Toronto in the past. And now we are going to look at the Portland Timbers. And it's fitting that when you go to their website, look who's the first photo that pops up. Eric Williamson, for his great performance in their last match. Eric Williamson, who keep an eye on as Portland continues to rehab him as he gets back into match fitness and he can start to contribute regularly for this Portland team. He had such great upside. He was breaking into some USMNT camp conversation and then ended up getting injured. So let's keep an eye on Eric Williamson. Now, looking at the Portland Timbers this year, they've had a fairly decent year, but nothing spectacular that has really catapulted them into the playoff conversation. They got 5 wins, 8 draws, and 6 losses as of when I put my notes together, 29 goals for and 29 goals against. So they're just off the playoff line, but a ways back from that top of the Eastern Conference. Their last 5 matches, though, again, as of when I was taking my notes, 2 wins, 2 draws, and a loss, which does help them move up the table a little bit. But their next 3 matches could really make or break their season as they are at Seattle and then hosting Vancouver and San Jose. So if they can get a result at Seattle and then defeat conference foes Vancouver and San Jose, that would really help cement them as right in that playoff hunt. Now, talking about Portland, you've got to talk about the manager, Giovanni Savarese, one of my favorite managers because he's the manager of 1,000 facial expressions. Like, they should have a camera on him every game, all game. And like, you can subscribe or follow along online with GeoCam and just see what facial expression he's making at the referee, at the opposing goalkeeper, at his own players to get them motivated. He's got his facial expression for everything, but he's also, and most importantly, a great tactician. And we've seen in seasons past with the Timbers where they start playing a possession style or more pressing style, or they try to do different things, exploiting matchups, but they're not getting the results they need, and they're starting to slip in the standings. So he says, all right, forget it. We're going back to basics. We're going to play defensive-minded. We're going to bunker and counter. And sometimes, as you know, appropriately for the Timbers, they employ that Christmas tree formation of a 4-3-2-1. Now, I haven't heard anyone talking about that too much with the Timbers this season, but you know what? They haven't had to use it because they have been getting a lot of results. And Rocky, I appreciate you jumping in here in the chat, man. This is your realm. And for really detailed Timbers coverage, make sure you connect with Rocky at Talk N the Woods. He says, Williamson's still hoping for a USMNT World Cup spot. I'd love to see him play himself in there. There's a lot of great midfielders right now. It'd be awesome to see him jump in. And he says they've been playing a 4-3-3 lately. And I would guess if they started really dropping results or picking up tons of injuries, you'd see them play a little more defensively. But in the meantime, Rocky, you're absolutely right. That 4-3-3 is working out fairly well for them. Now, one last note about Gio Savarese. He's been the manager of the Timbers since the 2018 season, and according to Wikipedia, has a winning percentage of 45. So not a bad run for him as Timbers manager. The other player that we've got to mention is Jarosław Niszgoda, a Polish international. He's got 6 goals on the season, which doesn't seem like a lot, but he's got 3 in the last 3 games. He's a 27-year-old striker coming into his prime, and he's been with the Timbers since 2020. Now, what's interesting, as kind of a larger league note, there's a pretty big group of Polish strikers here in MLS. You've got Niszgoda, you've got Karol Swiderski, Kasper Szczebielko, Adam Buksa, who just transferred from Revolution to RC Lens of France to join former MLS Polish winger Szemsław Frankowski. So pretty good Polish contingent, well represented here in MLS. Now, Niszgoda is a DP, one of the 3 for the Timbers, along with Sebastian Blanco and Jimmy Chara, who are 3 of the top 4 players when it comes to Portland's non-penalty expected goals and assists. So what do we always say? You need your DPs to be the best guys on your team. And in this case, their DPs are playing some of the best soccer, at least when it comes to lighting up the stat sheets. However, Portland, in that 10th spot, needs to get a little bit more offense. They're a well-rounded team. 9 players have scored this year. 8 players have had assists this year. And they should be fairly consistent as a result of that, but they need to get someone to be a game in and game out threat to score, you know, those 1 or 2 goals a game or get on a 3 or 4 goal run over the course of 4 or 5 games to really start stacking some wins together. But they're also doing pretty well in defense, right? They're actually 7th in the league in expected goals allowed. And as you can see here, we've got our opponent stats versus Portland from fbref.com showing that they are 7th for expected goals against. So doing it with a little bit of defense. On offense, they're averaging 1.53 goals per game, which is good enough for 9th in the league. But I think Portland's problem is they had a slow start, 2 wins, 3 losses, and 5 draws in their first 10, and they have a total of 8 draws on the season. So they need to start turning some of those draws into wins and they can get their season back on track. But I guess the good news is for the Portland fans that anytime I talk about Portland in somewhat of a negative fashion, or I say, you know, their championship window is probably closed, they go out and win a couple games and bang like a 3-0 victory, right? That's just what they do. So let's look at a few comments before we wrap tonight. Rocky says, true, it's all about having all the strikers healthy. Fogacha, Ikoba, Niszgoda, and Mora. And yeah, I think Portland has been hit with a bit of the injury bug this season. No doubt about that. So we'll see what they end up doing. Now, taking a look with Bernardo Labrada, says, hey, bro, how are you today? Was your 4th of July? Good win versus Montreal, but the lineup was amazing. We need this lineup for the LA Galaxy to win or tie. So Bernardo, you're absolutely right. We got to get some consistency in the lineups. I think that's the only thing that will help teams through these congested schedules. I know everyone likes to rotate squads that have healthy legs, but consistency can help you run a few games in a row there. And we've got Joe Mira joining us who says, Big Daddy, Seattle Sounders, baby. And yes, Joe, Seattle's got a lot of good things to say so far. We talked a little bit about them. Don't you worry about that. When Mike was on earlier, he was very upset about how Toronto lost to a rotated Seattle squad. So we made sure to give Seattle their credit earlier in the show. And we're featuring Portland here. And he says they're going to be smoking up Portland Pack next weekend. So that is that's pretty big talk in the chat. But we love to hear it. We love to hear from everyone, whether it's on Twitter at SOP Soccer, via email, sonsofapitchsoccer@gmail.com, or here in our live chats every single week. RBI Red Bull Insider agrees. Gio's a legend. His facial expressions are world class. No doubt about it. A few other comments here before we wrap up. Connor No Soccer says, Charlotte and Miami need to drop points for the Crew badly. You're absolutely right. Now that Miami's picking up Pozuelo, it does not look like they're going to be dropping as much as people originally anticipated. And Talk NYCFC says, City's defense needs to be better. The defense is letting them down. Yep, when you're drawn 2-2 to Atlanta, when you're drawn 4-4 to Cincy, definitely it's a defensive issue on there. But good thing that their offense can keep them in it. One more word from Rocky. He says the next gen pod, and he will be recording the Cascadia preview. So make sure you all check it out. Definitely go look up the next gen pod. Rocky has been covering Portland for a long, long time. So he knows exactly what he's talking about over there. So anyway, everyone, we're going to go ahead and start wrapping here. I want to thank everyone for your conversation, for the chat, for supporting the show. Big thank you to Brian for the $10 super chat. We really appreciate that. I know it means a lot to Mike to have your support and to have the support of all of our viewers and listeners as well. And we hope that you'll continue to support the show. You can always send us a super chat. You can reach out on Twitter or email and make sure that you share the link, that you tell your friends about us, that you send in your pictures. I know we got to get Talk NYCFC's pictures up in our next show. My bad for not catching those when I was doing my pre-show notes. But we will take care to feature as much content as we can. Keep a lookout as well. We're doing something a little different with our programming. I'll be doing the betting picks and predictions. We'll be merging some other videos from my other channel into SOP and bringing all the content we can to you, everything leading up to World Cup in Qatar, however you want to say it. Anyway, thanks again, everyone. We really appreciate all of your support. It's been a great night. I hope you all had a wonderful Independence Day weekend. God bless America. Thank you to those who fight to defend this country and to allow us to have these freedoms that we can celebrate on the 4th of July on Independence Day. And we hope that you all keep that in mind as you live your lives, that we enjoy the sports that we love so much. And I'll get off my soapbox now. Guys, thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun. And we will be talking to you next week here at SOP Soccer Central. Thank you. Well, you sat through 3.5 minutes of closing music. So here's my post-credit scene. We're going to be trying to do some fun little things where I show a little MLS memorabilia, a few things I've collected over the years. So we'll keep the post-credit clips coming, inspired, you know, from Marvel movies and Disney and all that fun stuff. So I'll try and slip some in next week. Thanks for sticking around.